You're listening to EPN.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio. I'm Eric Dye. Many entrepreneurs face the challenge of being successful due to the lack of funding to back them or their company and lack the knowledge of where they can find the funding to make all the difference in the world. Today, we are with Dave Levinsky, co-founder of Growth Inc. and president of Growth Inc. Publishing. Dave is an internationally renowned expert in the fields of business planning, capital raising, and new venture development. Dave Levinsky, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, and my pleasure.
Why do entrepreneurs and business owners need to be concerned with raising money?
Eric, that's a great question, very, very important question, which is, a lot of times entrepreneurs don't really think enough about raising money when they start their venture or as they grow their venture. And at the end of the day, the most important thing that an entrepreneur has to do is to have enough money on hand. So there's never been a successful company in the world, in the history of the world, that didn't have enough money or some sort of cash equivalent on hand. You need money to start your company. You need money to grow your company. And what's very interesting is that if you have enough money stockpiled, you can't possibly fail. Consider, a corner barbershop that has, a $2 million in cash reserves. They cannot fail. Another way to look at it is what if your competitor has a lot more money than you? What are you going to do if you're, the corner barbershop and the barbershop across town has hundreds of thousands of dollars that you don't, and they start advertising a lot more and taking your customers away from you? So at the end of the day, entrepreneurs and business owners need to raise money. When they run out of money, they go out of business. And so if you have enough money, you cannot possibly fail. Now, most entrepreneurs realize when they come up with their idea to start their business, they need to raise money, and they go through the process of either trying to raise money or raising money. Now, what most entrepreneurs don't understand, particularly when they're first-time entrepreneurs, is that the process of raising money really never ends. I mean, you might, if you're a very successful business and generate a lot of revenue, you might be able to fund your growth through, cash flow from serving customers. It's possible that the revenue you generate will allow you to continue to invest in your company and grow the company. But in a lot of cases, look at a restaurant. You want to start the second restaurant. You need to raise more money. Let's say you want, whatever business you're in, if you want to expand, it costs money. You need to continue to invest in your business, and doing so requires money. And so it's oftentimes an ongoing process that entrepreneurs and business owners need to do, is to raise more money, to grow their business, to upgrade their facilities, to improve their training and everything that they're doing. You need more money. And always just think about what happens if your, core competitors have more money than you. What will they do, and what position will that put you in? Probably a very, very negative position if you're lacking the capital. One of my favorite stories is the story of Sky Dayton and Earthlink, and tech companies oftentimes have to raise more money than others, but they raise their first round of funding, and a lot of times you'd think, hey, well they're done. Well, Sky Dayton and Earthlink raised about 20 rounds of funding, so they kept raising more and more and more and more capital on their way to success, and that's what entrepreneurs have to understand, is that it's not a one-and-done deal. In most cases, you raise money one time to start, and then you need to keep raising money to grow your business. Or if your business hits a rough spot, you need money to fund you through that downturn in your business cycle.
Well, how often do entrepreneurs and business owners need to raise money?
Well, really, it's an ongoing concern. It's an ongoing. They really need to always be looking at it. They always need to be looking at, okay, what is our cash position right now? What is our cash position, need to be 6 months from now, a year from now? What expenses might we incur in the next 6 to 12 months? What, type of growth would we like to do? And what are the requirements financially to allow us to achieve that growth? So it's really, once again, it's an ongoing need, and you really need to make sure that you've budgeted accordingly. You've raised enough capital so that you at least have enough capital on hand at all times for 6 months. Minimum, looking at your business, and there's always going to be downturns in the economy. There's always going to be those surprises, accidents, this or that. So you always need to make sure that you're funded for at least 6 months in the future, And importantly, the best time to raise money is when you don't need it. When your back is up against the wall and you're saying, hey, we only have, you know, a week left of financing or this and that, nobody wants to give you money. Everyone wants to give you money when you don't need the money because they say, wow, this company's doing well, or they're positioned for growth, they don't need the money. That's when you're in a good negotiating position to get money on the perfect terms when you don't need it. So it's an ongoing process of raising money, and you need to just always be looking at it. Now, for most companies, most entrepreneurs, they can't afford a CFO or a chief financial officer, which for most early, for early stage companies, that's all they're doing. That's all the chief financial officer is really doing, is making sure that the company has enough money and is raising more and more money. Most entrepreneurs don't have the luxury of affording a full-time CFO, so they have to do it themselves, which, you know, most entrepreneurs don't budget the time. They think about their business. Hey, I want to start this business and grow this business, and they think about operating the business. They don't really think about raising money. And most CEOs of early stage companies, a large percentage of their time, and I would say up to 40% of their time, is spent raising money. And that's frustrating for a lot of entrepreneurs because they say, hey, I don't want to spend my time raising money. I want to spend my time growing the business. Well, it's just a fact of the game. Let's call it a necessary evil, is they have to raise money possibly each and every month.
Well, what are the core types of funding that are available to entrepreneurs?
Well, there are three core types of funding that entrepreneurs can raise. And the first type of funding is debt. So debt is just, you think about getting a loan from a bank. Debt is something that you get the money and you have to repay the money. So the typical debt type of financing would be, once again, you go to the bank gives you, let's call it $100,000, and you have to, you know, repay that $100,000 over a period of time, 5, 7, 10 years, with interest. So you have an interest rate, and every month you're making interest and principal payments, and you're paying the money back. Now, with debt, in most cases, you do have to guarantee the loan so that you need to have some sort of collateral, maybe your home or maybe some sort of business equipment, et cetera. But that is what debt financing is. The second type of core type of financing is equity financing. Now, equity is when you're selling shares of your company to outsiders, to investors. It could be friends and family, could be what we call angel investors, could be venture capitalists or other individuals or organizations. So you're selling shares in your company. So with debt, going back to debt, you know, when you, if you eventually sell your company, you own 100% of your company. With equity, you no longer own 100% of your company. So you're selling shares of your company. You may sell shares representing, you know, 10% or 30% or even 50% of your company to outsiders in return for their cash. So the good news with equity is that you don't have to make those, you know, monthly or periodic payments. You don't have to pay back the money. You don't have to pay back the principal. You don't have to pay the interest. On the negative side of equity is that if and when, or if you do eventually cash out, meaning that you eventually sell the business or take the company public, you're not going to get 100% of the proceeds because your equity investors who own shares of your company are going to get their proportion or their portion of the proceeds of the sale. Now, I'm a big fan of equity capital because the way I look at it is that, you know, I look at, if you're looking to grow a big company, I always say that you rather have a small piece of a big pie than a big piece of a small pie. So, you know, example, if you own, you know, 10% of, you know, a $1 billion company, that's worth, you know, $100 million. But if you own 100% of a $1 million company, it's only worth $1 million. So, you know, I oftentimes like to have a smaller percentage of a larger company, and that often happens when you have access to a lot of capital to allow you to grow the business. Now, there are certain types of business, many types of businesses that are not applicable for equity financing because in general, equity financing, the equity investors only get paid when the business cashes out. So if you're looking to start what we call a lifestyle business, a business that you're starting the business so that you can have an improved lifestyle, work for yourself and make enough money and live well, but you don't plan on aggressively growing the business and selling the business, then that's not going to work out for equity investors because an equity investor is hoping to, let's say, put in $100,000 now and then maybe get, you know, $500,000 or $1 million back in 5 years or so. They're looking for you to grow the business and sell it and then them to cash out on their equity. And now the third and final type of funding or financing that's available to entrepreneurs is what I call creative or alternative financing, which is sometimes it's a hybrid of the two, but a lot of times it's just other types of financing. There's a whole bunch of other types of financing, such as grants and getting government grants for your business. There's financing such as customer or vendor financing. And one of my favorite financing stories of all times is Kenneth Cole, Cole Productions, shoes and accessories that did about $1.5 billion in revenue last year. When Kenneth Cole started the company, he had no funding whatsoever, and he was near bankruptcy. He had no money and no credit, etc. So what he did was he found an Italian, a struggling Italian shoe manufacturer that wanted to stay in business, did not want to lay off its employees, and Kenneth Cole convinced them to manufacture hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of shoes for him on consignment. So this is what we call, vendor financing. He got his vendor to essentially give him a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of shoes that Kenneth Cole did not have to pay for until he sold them himself. So Kenneth Cole, got the free shoes, didn't have to, pay for them, sold them for, many times what the cost was, and then paid the Italian shoe manufacturer. So there's customer financing, there's vendor financing, there's getting donations. You look at Wikipedia.com, it raises millions of dollars in donations every year. There's business plan and other competitions. There's all types of alternative or creative funding sources. And what always frustrates me the most about entrepreneurs, and having started multiple businesses myself, I consider myself in the entrepreneur category, is that entrepreneurs are the most creative people on earth, okay? Possibly with the exception of musicians and other types of artists, but really entrepreneurs are ultra creative. They come up with the greatest business ideas, product ideas, service ideas. They come with the greatest marketing schemes and ideas in the world. But when it comes to financing, entrepreneurs are really, really boring. They don't use their creativity when it comes to financing. That's what Kenneth Cole did, which was so brilliant, was use his creativity when it came to financing. That allowed him to start a multi-billion dollar enterprise. And so entrepreneurs really need to get creative when it comes to financing. They need to start thinking, okay, how else can I raise money for my business? Now, it's definitely helpful when you have a list, because I have a list of alternative and creative financing ideas that people have used, and it helps entrepreneurs when they see this list to either use one of those ideas or spur their own creativity. But entrepreneurs need to understand that, as we talked about at the beginning, financing is the most important thing. The most important thing. You can't launch an idea if you don't have financing. You can't grow your business if you don't have financing. So get that creative energy that all entrepreneurs have, and they need to apply it to financing. Once again, let's call it the necessary evil, but they can apply their creativity to financing to raise all the money they need, and then they can then launch the product that was their great idea, launch the great marketing ideas they had, etc. But it all is predicated on that financing.
We are visiting with Dave Levitsky, co-founder of Growth Inc. and president of Growth Inc. Publishing here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN. What is venture capital, and is it right for most entrepreneurs?
Venture capital is a type of equity financing. Once again, equity financing is when you're selling shares of your company to an outsider. Now, venture capital is a type of equity financing. Not all equity financing is venture capital. Venture capital is equity financing that's given to you as an entrepreneur by venture capital firms. Now, venture capital firms are organizations that are formed for the sole purpose of investing in high growth companies and ideally getting a very high return. And so venture capitalists, the way venture capitalists look at the world is they look at this company that says, hey, I need, $2 million or whatever they need, and they look at it as, can I get a 10x return or a 10-time return on money? So venture capitalists are essentially swinging for the fences. So if a company comes to them saying, I need you to give me, I'm looking to raise $2 million, the way that the vast majority of venture capitalists are going to look at that is, if I give this company $2 million, can I realistically get 10 times that or $20 million back within the next 5 to 7 years? So really, venture capitalists are risk managers. They're trying to mitigate their risk. They realize there's always risk in there in any investment. They're trying to get the investment companies that they feel have the best risk return profile. So if I invest, you know, $2 million in this company, can I get my $20 million or more back within 5 to 7 years? So once again, VCs or venture capitalists are professional risk managers. Now, a lot of entrepreneurs might say, well, listen, we're not going to get you potential of 10-time returns on your money, but we're much lower risk, you know, we're nearly guaranteed to succeed. Well, venture capitalists don't really care. They're not in the business to invest $1 million and get, you know, $1.5 million back. That's not what they're looking to do. They're looking to invest in less companies and get massive returns. Now, venture capitalists understand that not every company is going to give them a 10x return, and that is not the norm. So what they expect is that for every 10 companies they fund, while they would love and they would hope that all of them give them that 10x return, out of every 10 companies, they realize that right off the bat, six of them, they're probably going to lose all their money. Okay, so that's six right away, they're going to lose all their money. Then there's two or three of those companies that they'll probably get their money back or a very small return. But and then they're looking at just one or two companies out of 10 that they're hoping is going to give them that 10x return or more. And that over, when you look at that on portfolio theory and you look at that spread among all the companies, will still give them an enormous return. And if you get a 10x return on just one company out of 10, you're going to get, you know, 30, 40, or 50% returns across the portfolio, and that's what they're looking for. Now, venture capitalists are not investing their own money. They're investing the money of others, and what they do is they basically create what we call funds, a venture capital fund, and they get large organizations. It could be corporations to fund them. It could be large pension funds, et cetera. Sometimes wealthy individuals put money into a VC fund. So the venture capital fund and the venture capitalists that work for the fund are investing other people's money with the goal of getting a big return on those dollars. And so once again, they're swinging for the fences. They're looking for 10x returns, knowing that all they need is one or two big hits out of 10, and they're going to get an overall very nice return. Now, the good news is for the companies that fit the venture capital portfolio profile, that venture capital is a great source of funding. So mainly the companies that have the potential for a 10x return over a 5 to 7 year period. Now, most of those companies that fit the profile are going to be technology companies because for the most part, it's very, very difficult for other types of companies to grow by such an extent over a 5 to 7 year period and get such an enormous return. For example, a lot of like restaurants. Restaurants can be great businesses, and there's lots of examples of successful restaurant chains that have made, you know, a lot of money. However, to grow a restaurant chain takes a lot of time. It's not like you just, you know, start the first restaurant and then, you know, launch, you know, 150 others within a 2 year period. Launching restaurants, you know, if you launch one new restaurant a month, that's tremendous growth for a restaurant. Even that type of growth may not meet the criteria of venture capital. So most venture capitalists exclusively fund technology companies because technology companies have the ability to grow very, very rapidly, sell or go public, and get that investor, the venture capitalist, that 10-time return within 5 to 7 years. And one of the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make is they go looking for venture capital when they don't qualify. Either they're not in an industry that has a good potential for getting a VC or venture capitalist a 10-time return, or they're too early. And too early, a lot of times an entrepreneur that just has an idea, they say, well, let me just go to a venture capitalist. Well, once again, venture capitalists are professional risk managers. They generally don't fund idea stage companies. They generally want to see something built. They want to see either you have at least a little bit of revenues. They want to see that you've built a prototype. They want to see that you have some beta customers. So they want to see that you've accomplished some of the, we call the risk mitigating milestones. Those are the things that when you accomplish them, you reduce the risk in your company. So example I use generally is like a restaurant. If a restaurant, you look at the restaurant, and someone, and I say, hey, I have an idea for a restaurant, and you say, great, you know, what's your game plan? What are your risk mitigating milestones? Because right now, just when I have the idea, it's very risky. But let me list some risk mitigating milestones. One would be finding the location. Two would be getting the permits and licenses. Three would be building out the restaurant. Next would be hiring and training the staff. Next would be opening the restaurant. Next would be reaching $20,000 in monthly sales. Next would be reaching $50,000 in monthly sales. Now, look at what happened to the risk of my restaurant. When I said, hey, I'm thinking about starting it, it's extremely risky. Once I have opened the restaurant, it's less risky. Once I'm getting to $50,000 in monthly sales, it's hardly risky at all. So, you know, the way venture capitalists look at any business is, what is the risk profile? What risk mitigating milestones has the entrepreneur already accomplished? And when you come to a venture capitalist and say, hey, listen, I have this idea for this great new company, even if they think it's really, really cool, a lot of times they're going to say, that's great, but come back to me when you have accomplished this, this, and this, because then it's still a very risky venture, because everything's risky, but it's a lot less risky to me and to my investors. And that's, you know, a big mistake that entrepreneurs make, is going to venture capitalists too early or when they're not appropriate for venture capital.
Well, what materials, and for one example, a business plan, does one need to raise money?
Well, a lot of times we've heard, and what's the media always talks about these incredible stories. So a lot of us have heard the story of the business plan sort of written on a napkin, or the entrepreneur that, you know, raised $10 million just by telling a venture capitalist or another person an idea. And those are such rare cases and such exceptions that they're just really pretty much not true, meaning that there are certain entrepreneurs, if you have taken a company public in the past and made venture capitalists tons of money, you can do that. So we have a client that we work with that had raised venture capital, taken the company public for $10 billion, some ridiculous amount of money, and the venture capitalists that invested $10 million made, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. So that entrepreneur, because he has made venture capitalists so much money in the past, can walk into a venture capital firm, say, this is my idea, please fund me, and they will fund him based on the fact that he is a proven winner that has made entrepreneurs millions upon millions of dollars in the past. For the rest of us, which is 99.999% of entrepreneurs, that's just not how it works. You can't do that. You need to show investors, either venture capitalists, angel investors, lenders, etc., that you have a game plan, that you've thoroughly thought through the opportunity and what your strategy and your plan is, and that's when we get to a business plan. You need to develop a business plan in order to raise money. Now, clearly you should have a business plan just to operate your business and get the framework for your business down on paper, so that you're clear about what your goals are and what you're doing, and everyone around you, your team members, are all focused and on the same page for your business. So you need a business plan for that, and also to raise money. So you need to put it down, your ideas down on paper. You need to document what your strategy is. You need to document how much money you need to raise now. You need to show where that money is going to be used, what your projections are for how much capital you might need in the future, and how you're going to grow your business. Now, very importantly for debt financing that we discussed earlier, if you're looking for debt financing, the biggest concern that the debt source, be it the bank or whoever, is going to be concerned with is your ability to repay that loan. And that's why the business plan is so important. The business plan, the textual portion, is going to show and explain what you're going to use that money for. And then the Excel or financial portion is going to show, you know, what money is going to then come back into the business in the form generally of revenues, and prove to the lender that you have the ability to repay that loan, meaning that, you know, we talked about with a loan, you got to, you know, monthly or periodic payments of principal and interest, you need to be able to make those payments. So you need to show in that business plan and the financial model your ability to repay the loan. And for equity investors, you need to get them excited about the growth prospects of your business in the business plan. Now, in addition to the business plan, particularly for equity investors, mainly equity investors in the form of angel investors and venture capitalists, you need to also put together an investor presentation. because, you know, a lot of times the business plan will get you in the door, but nobody is investing in you, the entrepreneur, without meeting you face to face. It's the number one criteria that equity investors have, or really any investor has, is are you going to use this money wisely? Can I trust you with these dollars? So most entrepreneurs don't get that. The quality of your idea is important, but the quality of you and your team is the most important thing. And smart venture capitalists always say they bet on the jockey and not the horse, with the jockey being the founders and the management team, and the horse being the product, service, or company idea. And so you need to have a wow presentation. You need to be able to get in front of the investors and basically take them through a story of how they're going to get a great return investing in you, and also giving them the confidence that you can execute, that when given their dollars, you will use those dollars wisely, grow the business, and get them a return. And very importantly, on your business plan and on this presentation, what most entrepreneurs get incorrect is that they think about the presentation and the business plan as really a data dump. They spend all this time thinking through their strategy and just sort of put it down on paper and in a presentation, and that's what they give to investors. And invariably, when you do that, you're going to fail. Here's why. Your business plan is a marketing document. You're marketing the equity of your company to investors. You're marketing the debt opportunity to lenders. It's a marketing document. It's not a data dump. So you need to think about it as like a brochure. You need to think about it as, how am I going to convince these investors that this is an exciting opportunity that they can't pass up, that they're going to get a return on their money? How can I convince banks that they're definitely going to get their principal and interest back? And so you really need to be thinking from a marketing perspective, is how you marketing your company and the investment opportunity to outsiders, so they look at it as, hey, it's a no-brainer to invest in this company. I have to. If I don't, I'm going to be missing out on a lucrative opportunity. And most business plans and presentations, you know, utterly fail to do that, because the entrepreneur thinks that it's just a data dump. Well, here we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and here's our idea. It's not that. That's not exciting. That's not interesting. Yes, you need to include that critical information, but you need to weave that story on why this is exciting. Why should the reader care? How is it going to benefit them and not you? It's sort of marketing 101, which basically says that never talk about you. You know, we're so great, we're this, we're that. Think about the customer. What's in it for the customer? And that's the mindset you as an entrepreneur need to have if you want to be successful in raising funding.
Well, Dave, where can our listeners be in contact with you online, or the best place to get more information on funding?
Sure. I put together a presentation. It's a short video on truthaboutfunding.com. So that's just the word, no spaces, truthaboutfunding.com. And it basically, Truth About Funding, the video there teaches you about the multiple forms of financing that you need to raise for your business. And one of the things that I didn't get a chance to touch on, which is really, really important, is that successful entrepreneurs raise multiple forms of funding. So I mentioned, like, venture capital, that most entrepreneurs, not only are they not a fit for venture capital, but even when they are a fit, maybe they're a technology company, et cetera, maybe even when they are a fit in general, they're too early for venture capital because they haven't met certain milestones. So what I have on the truthaboutfunding.com website is I talk about the GrowthInc funding pyramid. And the pyramid is the most important concept in raising funding that there is. And the pyramid, all it does, it's a triangle and goes from bottom to top. And the key point is that the funding sources on the bottom are much, much easier to raise than the funding sources on the top. So the top of the pyramid is institutional equity, which includes venture capital and corporate capital, et cetera. That's the hardest to raise. The easier types of money to raise are things like quick loaners, crowdfunding, creative funding, social lending, et cetera, that are much easier to raise. And one of the key examples that I give to most entrepreneurs is Google, because everyone's heard of Google and everyone knows what a success story Google has been. Google, when they first looked, you know, for funding, they could not raise venture capital. They were not ready for venture capital. It was too early. So what Google did is they relied on credit card financing, they relied on debt financing, they relied on angel funding, and they relied on different types of capital before they were able and in a position to raise venture capital. And then they raised $25 million in venture capital and more and more. So virtually all successful companies raise money from multiple sources of funding at the same time. And they look, you know, they layer more and more funding. So there's all types of funding. There's over 40 core types of funding that you can go after within the three, you know, core types of equity, debt, and creative alternative financing. You need to understand that you want to start at the bottom of the pyramid, raise the easier sources of funding, and then you move up the pyramid to get larger and more challenging sources of funding. That those are the, you know, the multi-million dollar financings that allow you to really, really grow your business. But you need to start on the bottom and raise the easier sources that take a lot less time, a lot easier to get, so that you can get to the point where you start growing your business and you're able to raise larger amounts of funding from the harder sources. So I go through all that in the presentation. Once again, that's at truthaboutfunding.com.
Tremendous and valuable information. Dave, thanks for being a part of Enterprise Radio here on EPN.
Thank you.
The website again is truthaboutfunding.com. And that was Dave Levinsky, co-founder of GrowthInc and president of GrowthInc Publishing. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. We thank you for tuning in.
This is the ePodcast Network.